Hey, Father, we are so grateful. We thank you again for this honor and privilege of gathering together to come and share your word. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, we ask that you say that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all the people who will hear me, those who are physically present and those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray and ask that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in their individual life, agreed individually and said, Amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue our study in the book of Revelation. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse, I believe it was about verse 20 and 21. And the Lord Jesus is giving the report card to the church at Thyatira. And he commends them. In fact, this is probably the second best church after Philadelphia. You know, it's a good church. He said, I know your works, you know your faith, your patience. He said a lot of good things to them, you know, and the last to be more than the first. So these guys were doing well. However, there was a problem. The problem was that the leadership was careless and was allowing a particular woman, and probably not just her, probably just a group of people, to teach wrong things inside the church, in particular idolatry and sexual immorality. They allowed it, you know, and they encouraged it. And we brought out the fact that, you know, this is endemic in the church today without people actually, you know, realizing it, because the way Satan operates is that he's a deceiver. And he will do the same thing in a very subtle way. And you will not know, if you're not spiritually perceptive, that it's the same thing. We brought out the fact that idolatry in the New Testament is covetousness. Put simply, covetousness is trying to be rich quickly. That's really what it is. You know, the Yoruba people call it jojukokoro. It's greed. You want to have, and you want to have it very quickly. You know, and the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, I believe it's verse chapter 28, somewhere in there. It says that he that maketh haste to be rich will not be innocent. It goes on to say in the same chapter 28, further down, it says he that maketh haste to be rich hath an evil eye. And sadly, a lot of the churches today are in this same trap. They are encouraging people because the Bible promises prosperity. The Bible says, you know, you will be head and not tail. The Bible says Jesus became poor that we might be rich. All these things are true. So they now take those scriptures, which are correct and legitimate. But the way they put it to the people is that, look, God wants you to have it and have it immediately. Which is not true. The Bible says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. The Bible teaches us that, you know, we, through faith and patience, we inherit these promises. It never tells us anywhere that we're going to get all the promises immediately. It tells us that God will supply all of our need. You know, I've said this many, many times. You know, God will give us enough for food and raiment. And usually most people aren't satisfied with that. Because they're greedy. They see another person driving a nice car. They see another person, you know, having an aeroplane and things like that. And they don't want that. Well, you will, but you can't get it overnight. You know, and that should not even be your goal. The reason why God gave that fellow a car and all of that, you don't know. You don't know the background. You don't know the things that they went through. You don't know how they got to that point. Praise the Lord. And the work God had to do in their hearts. And then the scripture says, in 3 John in verse 2, it goes on to tell us, it says that, you know, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. When we did a little bit of elementary mathematics in school, even as is direct proportionality. What that means is that your material and physical prosperity, and that's why many Christians are sick too. It's not only true for prosperity, it's also true for healing. Because they're in the same verse. You know, that's why you find a lot of Christians who are not living in divine health. Because their souls aren't prospering. So Satan can come in, give them sickness, and puts them down. You know, it's not wrong to be sick, but you know, when it does come, you should be able to push it out almost immediately. And you shouldn't, sickness should not be something that is often and frequent. It should be few and far between. And the stronger you grow spiritually, the less you become sick. I was sharing with somebody recently, you know, that, you know, I do get attacked. Don't misunderstand me. You know, I I have, you know, attacks against my physical body. But hardly am I ever down, like, for 5 days or a week and I'm sick. You know, I can't remember when last I was admitted into hospital. You know, I mean, if I have to go, I go. Don't misunderstand me. You know, but because I treat sickness like sin. The same way I resist sin is the same way I resist sickness. I don't have this mentality that, oh, well, you know, it's okay to be sick. I mean, everybody's sick anyway. Well, then it's okay to be sinful. Everybody's sinful anyway. Hello, somebody. You know, it's the wrong mentality. I resist, just like I won't go and start drinking alcohol or committing adultery and fornication. And even if I'm tempted with such a thing or such a thing comes my way, the same way I resent that and I resist it is the same way I resent sickness. I treat them the same. Sin and sickness, as far as I'm concerned, are the same. And so we're supposed to, you know, grow in victory over sickness and poverty, you know, as our souls prosper. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. How does your soul prosper? Your will becomes more humble. Your mind becomes more enlightened with revelation knowledge. Your emotions become more tempered and controlled, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the definition. Now, that definition I've just given you, I don't think you're reading any book anywhere. Praise the Lord. You know, it's revelation knowledge that God gave us in the last 10, 15, 20 years. You know, because you see, that revelation knowledge comes from the fact that we understand what the spirit, soul, and body are. And we have, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, a clear understanding of what the soul is. The soul is not just a part of the inner man. It is a part of the inner man. But it's the will, the mind, the emotions. There is no chapter and verse for that in the New Testament. You can't find it. You can't find any chapter or verse in the New Testament that says the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. How do we get it? Years of prayer and revelation knowledge standing on the shoulders of fathers. I think the whole church owes E.W. Kenyon a debt of gratitude. Give him a clap offering. It was E.W. Kenyon was the trailblazer. In our generation, when I say our generation, I'm talking about the last 100, 150 years. You know, this is after John Wesley and all of those guys. All the John Wesley and all that group, you know, Charles Finney, the great revivalists of the 1800s, you know, didn't have this understanding. It was E.W. Kenyon, by the grace and the mercy of God. He took time over the years, you know, and he studied the scriptures and he came to the conclusion that, you know, when you study it and you look at all the scriptures, compare scripture with scripture and prayer, you know, he came to see that the soul is the will, the mind, and the emotions. That's what the soul is. Your soul is not your spirit. Your soul is connected to your spirit. It's a part of the inner man, but it is not your spirit. And what gets born again is your spirit, not your soul. And the sin nature is still inside your soul. And your soul is in conflict with that by that sin nature with your spirit. That's why you still sin as a Christian. Otherwise, if your soul, if your inner man was totally born again, you never sin. Because you have the nature of God. It says, whatever is born of God cannot sin. But we still sin. Because of the sin nature in the soul. So, the prosperity message should have been preached. And we started preaching this many years ago. We were persecuted for it. Hello? We were ostracized for it. Still are. In many quarters. You know, they don't like to hear that. That your material prosperity should be in direct proportion to your spiritual prosperity. You get out of that proportion, you get into idolatry. It's subtle, but it's true. That's why twice in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us that idolatry is covetousness. He says it's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And so, this church had this problem. They had this woman. You know, I don't think it was just one woman. I think it's probably just a group. You know, since Jezebel, I think he just used a spiritual name, you know, using a character in the Old Testament to describe the kind of attitude and the kind of heart that that woman had. You know, calls herself a prophetess and teaches. You see, that's how they teach. You can teach covetousness by teaching a prosperity message that is not balanced with the prosperity of the soul. And teach them to eat things sacrificed to idols. And very closely following that is adultery and sexual immorality. Because the same spiritual forces that you need to restrain greed is the same spiritual force you need to restrain the lust of the flesh, particularly sex. So the person that is in a hurry to be rich will also be in a hurry to have sex, so to speak. You know, even if you're married, you know, marriage does not immunize you from the pressures of sexual immorality. It doesn't. In fact, in some cases, it even makes it more, you know, because when you're not married, at least you know it's complete zero. Amen. You know, as a young man, I was born again when I was 21. 20, you know, but before then I used to have girlfriends and all that, you know, when I was 17, 18, when I was in UI, you know, but I, you know, when I got born again, I stopped all of that, and I put it behind me. It doesn't mean I wasn't tempted, I certainly was, you know, but God helped me. I learned to pray, I learned to walk in the Spirit, you know, and then I also learned to just use common sense. Hello? The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So I never allowed myself to be in a compromised situation with a woman, you know, or somebody of the opposite sex, sister or no sister. Hello. I learned that very quickly. You know, being a sister does not immunize you from, you know. And so just by keeping those simple laws, you know, precautions, by the grace and the mercy of God, God help me. But the point that we're making here is that this woman, you know, this Jezebel in this Thyatira church, she taught these people to eat things sacrificed to idols, which is this idolatry we've spoken about, this covetousness, and commit fornication. What do you see in our churches today? Particularly in many of our so-called, you know, seeker-friendly churches. Nobody talks about sin. Hello? Particularly this kind of sin, they don't talk about it. The pastor don't say it is wrong. They don't say it is right. They're just quiet. That sin of omission is the same thing as teaching them to commit it. By not talking about it. You know why? It's so endemic, the pastor will be embarrassed to talk about it. Sometimes the pastor or the pastors themselves are involved in it. So the best thing to is just to be quiet about it. You hardly find any strong teaching, you know, against sexual immorality and how to overcome it. How many Well, maybe, have you heard on overcoming adultery and fornication, except in scripture, Pastor? You know, I don't talk about it all the time, certainly not. But, you know, we need to teach our young people. Not only our young people, our older people too. David was not a young man when he committed adultery, you know. So if you don't teach it and you don't emphasize it, then by omission, you are permitting it. And so you have a lot of it inside the church today. It's endemic. It's very, very common. It's very, very common. I find that when I go, when I'm invited and I go and preach and teach in places, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead me and talk about those things. They get very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Because some of the leaders themselves have fallen those things. And when I teach and preach by the grace and the mercy of God, I don't teach from a condemnation point of view. I say, oh, you are a sinner, you know. No. I teach you how you get out of it. You know, I don't teach you to condemn you, you know. But the point is, if you don't teach the prosperity of the soul along with the material prosperity, you know, and overcoming sin, you know, you won't be balanced. And you will allow those two spirits to enter your church. Idolatry and fornication. It's sad, but it's true. You know, and it's very, very common. Like I said, it's endemic. In medical term, that means that it's entered the entire population. Correct, Prof? It's endemic. It is. Somebody called me many, many years ago, a big pastor. I won't mention his name. He's a friend of mine. You know, many, many years ago. I'm talking about maybe 15, 20 years ago. He called me one Sunday. I think it was a Sunday. So he told me, oh, this person is doing this and this and this and this with this person. So I said, oh, that's sad. So he said, ah. You know, he was speaking in Yoruba to me. He said, oh, Jay Boteni, what you I said, Momo. In our language, that means, he said to me, you, where are you? You don't even know what's going on. I said, no, I don't. I don't want to know. He was telling me about something that somebody else was doing. And I know he knew because they were all, you know. But there's another particular situation. This same person was telling me, Jay, if you know what is going on, this one is doing. I said, well, just pray for them. Pray for them. I'm not into character assassination. I won't go into my pulpit and start saying this person did this. That's not my business. And that's their business with God. My own business is teach you the word of God and how to get out of it. You know, if you are in it. And if you have not entered it, how to avoid it. That's my business. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so it's a big problem. And it all comes down to neglecting the prosperity of the soul. Bimbo, put that illustration of the soul onto the screen for me. I want to teach you something about the soul. I want to use a pictorial representation of the soul to make it clear in your minds. I've preached this over the years, you know, but thank God for this graphics that we have now that makes things much clearer. Say, Pastor, where do you get this from? I didn't have a vision. It's revelation knowledge. It's revelation from the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Now, I want to show you what I call the anatomy of your soul. We have one on the spirit and, you know, the cleansing and the flow of life and all that. This is a little bit different. Now, run the movie. I'll tell you when to stop. You can see, when you're born again, so you have the nature of God inside your spirit, that yellow thing there. Now, every Christian has that. Now, this is the will, the mind, and the emotions. We've drawn it like this to show how, you see, the nature of God is inside the spirit. Now, ordinarily, if you're walking with God, stop the movie just for a minute. The life of God should be increasing in the inner man. That's what happens when you take life scriptures. So it can go up and down. You can see that inner man, the gray, represents the inner man and parts of it that the life of God hasn't yet reached. Is this clear? So that's why you can be full of life. You can be half full. You can be one quarter full. You can be, and so on and so forth. You know, so you're connected to the body and all of that. Now, run the movie. So the life of God is flowing. Now, it should flow up. Stop. Now, you can see that the soul is where the brain is. The brain is just a physical organ. You know, it has all these wonderful neurons and axons and dendrites and all this kind of thing. But the soul is actually a spiritual thing. But it lives, it's physically located where the brain is. Because actually, and when you look at it, you know, Prof here, they've just done a great conference on neurology. You know, I happened to be there with the Vice Chancellor at the opening. You know, it's amazing the parallels, the spirit and the physical. You see, the brain is connected. I've got experts here, so I have to be very careful. Make sure I say the right thing. It's connected to your spinal cord. Are you following? You got your brain here. You know, there are different parts of it. I don't know the, you know. But it's connected to the spinal cord. And then from your spinal cord, you have this network of nerves that go to every part of your body. Your eyes, your nose. The reason why you feel, you see, if I touch Ogwefi like this now, the reason why he's going to feel it is that there's a nerve ending here. It transmits an electrical signal. When my hand touches his body, it goes via the spinal cord through this, the oblongata. I was very good in biology, just but I don't remember everything. But it goes, you know, it goes up and comes here. There's a connection here. Then it goes to the brain. So the brain now, you know, interprets that something and sends a signal and he feels it. God forbid if you have a stroke or any terrible thing happens, the reason why they don't feel anything anymore is that that connection, something is wrong with it. And it moves, is their electrical signals. They move at close to the speed of light. That's why you feel things instantly. Now, watch this. Your mind, your will, your emotions, which are spiritual things, are living inside your brain, you know, which has all these electrical connections and all of that to every single part, you know, of your physical body. That's why you have feelings, emotions. You have feelings, you feel something, you know. You know, when something happens, you know, if information comes to your mind that is bad information, God forbid, like some bad news, immediately that information is transmitted into the will, the mind, emotions. It enters the physical body, you understand, goes through the nervous system, all of that, and that's why I start feeling depressed. You start feeling bad, you feel low. It's the same, simply because of the information. Now, if you get good information, you feel good. Now, let's look at it in that's from a psychological, physical point of view. That's why we have psychiatrists. The only safe psychiatrist I know is Pastor K. Praise the Lord. You know, because really, you can't study true psychiatry if you don't know God. You're playing around in the devil's playground. You can tell all the physical things and apply this drug and apply this, you know, to get all kinds of things. But when Satan starts playing around with you, he will run rings around you and confuse you. That's why many shrinks need shrinks. Another message for another day. Now, watch this. The life of God, which is indicated by the Zoe, which is the yellow, you can see that the soul there has these black spots in there. Those black spots are symbolic of the sin nature. They're still inside the soul, even though the inner man is born again. Now, the will acts like a door. Run the movie. Thank you, Jesus. Now, stop. Watch. You see, the will there is like a trap door. That's why it's still free. You control that. God will never override it. You can choose to open that will, you can choose to close it. If you close that will, even though there is light in the inner man, it will never get to the soul. That is the consequence of pride, stubbornness, and rebellion. If you don't open it, no matter how much light is in here, you can see the light is in the inner man, you know, but it's not inside the soul. It's very, because it's slightly open now, you see slight amount of light going to the soul. Now, run the movie. As the will opens more and more, okay, he's showing it fully open now. You can see now how the life of God goes into the soul. Stop the movie. You can see that those dots are less now. A lot of the sin nature has been gotten rid of. So it will go from, watch this, it will go from the will into the mind, from the mind into the emotions, and then you can see that connections into the body. That is your nervous system. That's how it, this is how it actually is. So when, that's why the Bible says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. No matter how much revelation, no matter how much he prays, no matter how much he speaks in tongues, because all of that is coming from here. If the will here is locked, it's not going to get anything. You know, I've been a pastor now for over 35 years, by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, and I've seen people come and go. See people, they do everything you tell them to do. They fast, they pray, they speak in tongues, no revelation. After 20 years, 30 years, is the will. The will is stubborn, is rebellious, it hates rebuke, it does not like instruction. So it closes the flow of the life. You find that person comes, 2 weeks, 2 years, they've overtaken people who have been there 20 years. So this is the operation of the soul. So when we say a soul is saved, what we mean is that the will is totally submitted to the will of God. It's totally open. The mind is enlightened. The light that is inside the spirit has entered the mind. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, God who commanded the light to shine of that has shined in our hearts. The emotions, consequently, are controlled by the life of God, the fruit of the Spirit. So the person starts behaving like God. Roll the movie back. If you can rewind. Yeah, rewind, rewind, rewind. Rewind until when it's closed. Good. Now, since this situation, the will is closed, all that soul area is dark. It's Christian. Born again. But the light in him is darkness. Christian behaving like the devil. But there's life inside. So you know what God does many times? Kill him and get him to heaven. Deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that we don't lose all the light inside the spirit. Because if you lose everything and he's cut off, he will go to hell. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. You will not go to hell. I'm not talking about you. Come on. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? This is real. And you saw this covetousness thing, this fornication thing, and all the other sins, you know, really, the lust of the flesh, you know, adultery and fornication and, you know, covetousness, pride and evil eye. All these things you just talk about, you know, it's a consequence of this. When the will, especially, that's why that first prayer you pray every morning, I humble. Notice it's not God who will humble you. I choose to fear God. God taught me those things. Over the years, I remember 2000, and we started this website, our website in the year 2000. I still remember. The first day was 2001, but we started developing in the year 2000. Just before that, around in the 90s, God began to teach me, and I began to teach you and the body of Christ about the fear of God. You know, the fear of God. You know, and that's where we got honesty and humility from. But the point I want to make here is this. In the book of Proverbs, it says, they did not choose the fear of God. It was the Holy Spirit who gave me revelation. The fear of God is not something that's automatic. You have to choose it daily. I choose to fear God. So I humble myself and submit to the will of God when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer. How many people know you don't feel like praying at 4 a.m. in the morning? You wake up, the Holy Ghost wakes you up. Oh God. I don't feel like it. Every time you exercise yourself, that you humble yourself. And your will gets more open. Submit to the will of God even when I don't feel like, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of His judgment and chastening if I disobey, and the security of His mercy when I... Where did I get all that from? All of it, revelation knowledge. Whose knowledge God shared in a way that is practical that people can understand. So, when the will is not humble, the soul, or as I say it this way, the degree to which the will is humble is the degree to which the soul is saved. The degree to which there is light in the mind is the degree to which the soul is saved. The degree to which the fruit of the Spirit is controlling the emotions is the degree to which the will is saved. So when he says, prosper even as your soul prospers, that's what he's talking about. And come and tell me, you know, many people, their will is not humble at all. And yet the guy wants billions. And the pastor promises him the millions, you know, if he will give an offering to the pastor, not if he will humble his will. So you know what happens? He gets the millions. But it's not God who gave it. It's the devil. Before I leave this, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. We actually did an article on this recently. Pastor Wally did an article on the Good Morning Jesus Daily Rhema. You know, I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, one of the articles. Now watch this. If there arise among you, not outside you, born again spirit-filled guys. Are you listening? That's why the deception is so effective. If it's one guy who's not born again, nobody's going to listen to him. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth a sign or a wonder. How many people like signs and wonders? Yeah. Next verse. And the sign and wonder come to pass. It works. Do you hear me? Let me give a typical example. You have a sign, you have a wonder, you understand? If you give 7,000 naira or dollars into this offering today, in 3 weeks' time, you're going to get a contract of 700,000 USD. You do it and you get it. Did the wonder come to pass? Yeah. Did the sign come to pass? Now watch this. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. What is that? It is idolatry. But in the New Testament, they won't tell you to come after other gods. The other gods, there is idolatry. That's why the deception is so subtle and effective. Next verse, verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet and that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart. Everybody say will, mind, emotions, and with all your soul. Next verse. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. There we go. Keep his commandments, life and love, you know, obey his voice and you shall serve and cleave. Let me just stop there. Can you see how this covetous thing works? It's a sign and a wonder. But it always leads to covetousness after other gods. That, no wonder God used Solomon to tell, because Solomon himself fell into this trap. You know, and all the things that messed him up. You know? He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. He that maketh haste to be rich hath an evil eye. An evil eye is a soul that is not enlightened. Because of the wrong will, it blocks the life of God. It doesn't go up. It doesn't get into the will. Are you listening to me? I learned these things by the grace and the mercy of God over many years. And I myself, I want to be honest, I had to correct myself. I had to repent. I had to say, God, when I first got born again, filled the Holy Spirit, when we first started scripture passage, my first 4 years, starting 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, I was teaching prosperity like everybody else and all that. And I wasn't wrong, you know. And I wanted this and I wanted that and I wanted this and I wanted that. God had to correct me. And I had to humble myself and say, God, I'm sorry. There was a time, it's a true story, somebody was selling all my books in England. I'm talking about 1989, 90, 91. You know, Practical Guide to Prayer was selling like hotcake in London. People were selling £10, £15. You know, I know somebody who was in that ministry who told me, he said, Pastor OJ, you don't know anything. He said, there are times we sold your books £40,000. Use it to buy Jaguar. True! Not second-hand information, first-hand information. People who were actually a part of the thing. You understand? Who was, you know, some people were doing this. And at that time, my friends came to me and said to me, he said, Oji, what are you doing sitting in Nigeria? What are you doing sitting in Nigeria? Your books are selling like hotcake in London, in America. He said, just tell me. We will arrange a string of meetings. And you know, everybody that wants your book, they will buy it, will make a lot of money. It was very tempting. But I went to pray. And God said, don't do that. He said, it's not time yet. So I said to this person, I said, I only go where God opens the door. I will not open a door God has not opened. I sat down here. I didn't have money. I mean, I had money, but I wasn't poor or, you know, destitute or anything like that. I had food and raiment, you know. And over the years, God gradually blessed but it was as my soul was prospering. I could have taken that shortcut. And what we're talking about today, we will not be talking about it. I use that as a practical example. You can be in a hurry. And people will be pushing you. Christian people, born again spirit people, oh, you're wasting time. People are doing, you know, this one has done this. This one has bought a private jet. This one has done this. This one has built a big church. What are you doing in that place? God had mercy on us. And I say us, my wife and I. Thank God for a good woman. You know, if you have a covetous woman, she will push you. She'll be one of that lady, what are you doing here? You are a fool. You know, if she tells you every day, it will vex your soul and push you into do something. Thank God for a woman who was also a praying woman. So she wasn't, you know, there was nothing we didn't hear. My wife and I traveled in 1986, 80, yeah, 85, for our wedding shopping. That time I was lecturing in UI. I went to Italy for an academic conference. She went to Holland. You know, for an academic conference, Brussels, it was Brussels, you know. So we used the opportunity to go to England, you know, to buy our wedding shopping, some of the things we needed for our wedding, and came back. Had our wedding, scripture pastor already started, you know. Do you know that we didn't travel for 10 years? The next time we went abroad was 1996. And that one, you know what happened? Somebody who was watching my program on television
who was quite a church in England, called me and said, "Pastor, I want you to come. I will pay the ticket. I will do it." That's how we went to England. And then from then, we started going almost every year up till now. But you see, I had to wait 10 years. While God was working on my soul. Now, let me reassure you, it may not take you 10 years. The glory of the latter has better than the former. Do you understand? But what I'm trying to say is that don't open a door God doesn't open. Don't break divine laws and principles to get a material thing. It's a trap. It's a trap. That's what happened to this Thyatira church. They had this woman who was there, who was teaching them to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication because they were not dealing with the issues of the soul. They were not, you know, allowing the soul to prosper. They were teaching the other things and then omitting. That's the problem Jesus had with the Pharisees. He said that they omitted what? The weightier matters. It's the most subtle type of deception. You see, a deception that is not inside the Bible will not deceive anybody. Prosperity is inside the Bible. Are you listening to me? It's there. Grace is inside the Bible. Forgiveness is inside the Bible. You know how people, you know what they say? They say, well, you know, if you commit adultery, you kept fornication, after all, the grace of God is there. And just tell God you are sorry. And he's, you know, and God will forgive you. And he's, all that is true. So you know what happens? After some time, their conscience becomes seared. So he lives in it and says, well, you know, God understands, you know, and his, you know, his grace is sufficient for me. They take scriptures and put it out of context. Does God forgive you if you commit adultery? Yes. Does God forgive you if you commit fornication? Yes. But does God want you to continue in it? No. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You are not under law, you are under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So you must find out, how did I fall into it? I'm not condemning you. How did I fall into it? And then ask God, pray, ask God and say, Lord, how can I avoid it? So I don't fall into it again and keep saying, the grace of God, the grace of God. That's an abuse of the process. But what I'm telling you now is what they teach and preach. That's why they don't talk about it. They say, no, if you talk about it, you put other people under condemnation. So don't talk about it. Just tell them that, you know, God's grace is there and God's grace will cover us. It's a half-truth. Yes, God's grace is there. God will cover you. But you need to teach it so that they will know how to avoid it and overcome it. And let them know that there is a price for continuing in it. For you sin against your own body and you will disinherit yourself of the Spirit without measure. Doesn't mean you won't be born again. Doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. But there are certain things you just want. Go and ask David. Man after God's own heart. And he wasn't like you that he was doing it every day. He just one terrible one. Killed the husband. And God told him. He said, He said, you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. He said, I've forgiven you, you will not die. But that temple, you will not build it. David lived only to 70. God did not give him 71. David should have lived to 120. All the people in David's class, Joseph, Joshua, all the people who are men of God like David, all of them lived over 100 years. By 70, David's body was so weak, he couldn't get up. They had to find cloth to cover him. Then they gave him one small girl to give him heat. The Bible says, but the king knew her. He had learned his lesson the bad way. It cost him. Yes, God will forgive you. Yes, God will have mercy on you. You may not go to hell. I notice it is may, not will. But you will pay a price. There will be a chastening. So you know what? God told me this many years ago as a young man. I was still in my office in Oshutoku. You know, This is 1988, 89, somewhere in there, 91. At that time, the church was booming. You know, a lot of people were coming, you know, at a big, you know, our offerings already in, you know, over a year. At that time, when there was still almost one naira to something, it was in the millions, you know. And God just, I never forget that day. God said, don't commit adultery. I said, me. He said, yes, you. How old was I? 31, 32, 33. I was a young man. You know, there were plenty of women around, girls around. There was ample opportunity to have done such a terrible thing. He said, don't do it all. He said, I will forgive you. So don't worry about that one. He said, but the chastening may be so severe you may never recover from it. He said, remember David. I got instruction quickly. I'm telling you. You know, young man, you know, that was a few youthful loss, you know. Immediately I got instruction. He said, if you try it, he said, you may not even survive it. And you know he was right. Looking back now, I thank God for his mercy and that preserved me. If I tried, I probably would have died. I'm serious. See, a lot of people die, you don't know why. Some of this, the chastening of the Lord. The Bible says, when we are chastened of the Lord, you know, where we're delivered unto the devil, he says that the spirit may be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, you know, the people who are chastened of the Lord, so that we will not be condemned with the world. Sometimes, premature physical death is a divine chastening. It went very quiet. I can't hear one hallelujah. You know what I've just done? By the grace and the mercy of God, I'm being a good pastor. I'm feeding you with knowledge and understanding. I'm teaching you the balance. Yes, God, there's grace, oh. There's mercy. But do not receive the grace of God in vain. I don't know where they put all those scriptures. Don't continue in sin. And I'll tell you another thing, you know, I don't know why God zeroed in on this morning, but I know people need it. I know the Holy Spirit doesn't do things, you know. If you are struggling, run to me. Not just me or any of the pastors. Pastor, we will not condemn you. Do you understand? We will not expose you. We will cover you. I've been a pastor for many years. I've had different situations. People have come to me. I'm being honest with you. Men have come to me and say, I'm having a problem in this area. They've been honest about it. And I said, don't tell it. I didn't even tell my wife. And my wife does the same thing. When people come, you know, unless it concerns me, why come and bother me with that? And I'll say, do this, do this, do this. And I pray with the person, you know, problem solved. Today, it's as if it didn't happen. If you are having problem, come and see us. Don't run from us, run to us. Because if you tell us before it comes out, we can cover you. But if it has come out, we can't cover you again. So don't mess around with this nonsense. This is what should be taught. Not teaching them to commit it. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Let's get back to the book of Revelation if we can. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. 2 Revelation chapter 2, I got to close. Glory to God. Yeah, verse 21. Look at verse 21, 22, and close. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented. Everybody give the Lord a clap offering. Can you see how kind God is? God didn't condemn them because of the... He didn't approve of it, but he didn't condemn them. And he said, I didn't do anything, not because I don't know what's going on. I've given them time. I gave them space so that they can hear Pastor Olubi I'm joking. You know, so they can hear the right thing and see how to overcome it. And if they overcome it, fine. See, God doesn't beat us over the head and condemn us. There is therefore now no condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? That's true. But that doesn't mean you should continue in sin. So run. There's space for repentance.
Next verse.
Behold, I. Don't you never say I who? Let's make it very personal. I, Jesus. Who is talking to John? The Lord Jesus himself. The head of the church. Are you listening to me? This is the real Jesus. Who? Not this funny Jesus that they preach these days. I. This is not Old Testament. You know, you're like, God is the Old Testament of grace. There's no, all life was the Old Testament. This is solid New Testament, end of the New Testament, Revelation. I will cast her.
I will cast her. Her who? Her Jezebel.
And these people who are committing fornication and adultery in the church. And I'm saying this to the church as I'm speaking now, speaking straight into the camera. If you have been committing adultery and fornication and using the grace of God as an excuse to continue, stop it now. You've been given space to repent. If you don't, this is your destiny. We'll cast her into a bed. And then that commits adultery with her into what? Great tribulation. Except, give the Lord another clap offering. See how kind God is. I got a word for you. The first space had expired. He gave them another one. Keselemengradafras. I gave them space. They didn't repent. I'm giving them another space. See, that's why, you see, when we teach and preach these things, we don't teach it from a condemnation point of view. Because we know God loves people. And God understands the weaknesses of the flesh and you know, all our weaknesses and all that. And God wants to help us. When you sin, run to Jesus. Run to good oversight. We will cover you. We will help you. We will not condemn you. And then we'll put restrictions on you. We will come to me. They know. I'll put reasons. I say, make sure you call me every day. Send me a text. I want to know what's going on with you. Don't do this, don't do that. How was yesterday? I do that for you for 3 months, 6 months, get you straight, then you're free. That's a good pastor. That's discipleship. But you know, when they don't want to hear the truth, they run away from you. Because they know what you say. But they don't want that one. They want to continue in the thing. So they'll go to XYZ down the road where they don't talk about it. Nobody, there's no oversight, there's oversight, but it's not effective. You know, there is nobody calls you to order, nobody finds out. Hey, I didn't see you in church last week. Honorable, what's wrong? That's a good church. That's a good pastor. What's wrong with you? I will be able to rebuke you. I should be able to correct you. Otherwise, your soul can perish. Don't be afraid of me. See, when you come and you expose yourself, you're doing the right thing. Because when there is light, darkness doesn't have a place to hide. But when you hide it and you are trying to do and you try and struggle yourself, then the thing now becomes a public thing and the thing goes out of something, then we have no choice except to do what the Bible says. Except they repent of their deeds. Verse 23. I got to close with that. I! Say, who is I? Say, Jesus. Say, Saul. This is the part of God many Christians don't know. And they don't want to know. But it's New Testament Christianity. I will kill her children with death. What a terrible... You know, if this wasn't in the Bible, say, God can never say this kind of thing. God is love. God is love. God can never do that to anybody. You don't know God. I've said it many times and I'm going to keep saying it. It is God who defines love. It is not love that defines God. So, dealing with sin is a part of love. This is love. You know why? If he doesn't deal with it, it will spread like a cancer to the rest of the body. So God has to cut it out surgically. God is love. This is love. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I will kill her children with death. And the churches, all the churches, including the ones in the 21st century, which is us, all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to his works. God has everybody's number. You can see every heart. You can hide from man, but you can't hide from God. I got to close. The eyes of the Lord are scanning the entire church as I speak. And he's looking at the hearts and the kind of life you are living. You might hide from Pastor Olubi. You might hide from Mommy Sarah. But you can't hide from God. God knows exactly what's going on inside your heart. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. If you're smart and you're honest, expose it. Let God deal with it. And he will give you space to repent. And he will help you. If you're dishonest, he will kill you with death. Especially in this glorious church that is coming. God's not going to allow this nonsense. Because it's without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. You know, the thing about sin is this. The Bible says this. It says that, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole. Once you once the leadership turns a blind eye. Don't let me talk about that because I don't want to embarrass Mr. X or Mr. Y because they are bringing so much money to the church. Hello? This is the problem in many places. The big man, you know, they're bringing inside. The guy has three wives. And they make him a deacon. Oh, it's happening. You know, he's living in sin, living in adultery, you know. But the man cannot talk because he's the guy who is bankrolling your church program and your convention. He's the chairman of the convention committee. So you dare not talk. So what you do? Just be quiet. Just talk about grace. Grace. If you do that, you're not helping the people. You know what's going to happen? It will spread in the church. It's like a cancer. It's a spirit. When I say spirit, now it's not necessarily a demon, but you know, it's an attitude. So other people were, they may not even know about it physically, but they pick it in the spirit that this pastor will not talk if I do it. So he too will do it. The next person too will do it. This other person too will do it. Before you know it, it's endemic. So many people are living in adultery and fornication and covetousness in the church, and they know the leadership will say nothing. So because of that, Jesus cuts it out like a cancer. I will kill her children with death. Her children there is not necessarily her biological children. The woman and the spiritual children that are following her. And I'm going to get rid of all of them and cut them out of the church so that the church will be saved. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Next week, well, next time we're going to look at the, you know, the works and the rewards and all of that. A lot of lovely stuff in there. But this was so necessary. How many people know this was necessary? If I bless you this morning, give me a wave offering. You know, this is what's going to keep you alive. Because these things are so endemic in the church. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Everybody talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. If you're in any kind of this kind of either covetousness or idolatry or fornication or cancer, come to us. Don't be afraid. I promise you on my honor, I will not expose you. I'm not even, you know, God forbid, I don't believe this will happen, you know. I won't even tell your wife or your husband. If it's something God can help us to do, we'll deal with it. I've helped people. I will help you. I will help you. But don't be dishonest. And don't continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. Talk to God. Draw me close.
And we all need to get close to God, folks.
Never let me go. Never let me go. Lay it all down again.
Hear you say that I'm your friend.
Hallelujah.
You were my design.
You were my design. Hallelujah.
No one else will do.
No one else will do.
'Cause nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace.
Hallelujah, glory to God.
Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Draw me close to you. Let's start again from the beginning. Glory to God. Sing it as a prayer.
Draw me close.
Draw me close to you.
Never let me go.
Never let me go.
I'll lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You were my desire.
You were my desire.
No one else will do.
No one else will do.
Nothing else can take your place. Of your embrace.
Hallelujah.
Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
You're all I want. One hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. We're going to pray in a minute. I want you individually to say, God, I've heard your word. And I thank you for mercy. I thank you for grace. Lord, help me.
to avoid covetousness, avoid sexual immorality of any sort, not just adultery, fornication, homosexuality, any kind of sexual perversion. And it's so common these days, and they don't talk about it in the churches. There's no strong corrective word, like, kind of, by the grace and the mercy of God, I brought forth this half morning. You don't hear this often, because the people are afraid of offending the people, because they can go to another church and take the money with them, you know. And then also, they don't want to offend them, because they feel they put them under condemnation. And you don't have to put people under condemnation. I didn't put you under condemnation. I just showed you the way out. Now talk to God. The Lord also, the word of the Lord came to me now and said, the reason why people are covetous, one of the reasons, covetous is something of the heart. You know, you can be covetous without anybody telling you to be. But you see, if you keep hearing greedy messages, careful what you listen to. If you get turn to this place and say, oh, you know, give testimony, so-called. Welcome testimony. Oh, I did this, I did this, and then within 6 weeks, I got this. This other one, testimony, I did this in 1 month, I got this. You'll be asking yourself that, what is God doing with my own life now? And it begins to sow the seeds of covetousness in your heart. Careful. Cease, my son, to hear words that will tell you to turn away from instruction. It will lead to covetousness. That's a word from God. Don't turn that television off. You know, you can't come to Scripture Pasture and listen to this kind of message. Then immediately you leave here, you go and put something else on that's going to feed you with covetousness. It will confuse your spirit. And it's happening to a lot of our people, particularly our young people. They listen to me, then they go and listen to something else, and they say, well, you know, these guys are slow, these ones are fast. They'll destroy you. Don't do it. Raise their hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially sins of sexual immorality and covetousness, greediness, a desire to be rich too quickly above the prosperity of our souls. Father, I thank you for this word, for this life-saving word. I thank you because your Bible tells me that if I keep the word of God, it will save my soul. Father, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to humble myself under your mighty hand, submitting to your will when I don't feel like it, when my body doesn't feel like it, when my emotions don't feel like it, when my mind doesn't feel like it, so that I can open the door for your life to flow into my will, my mind, my emotions, and save them. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to cause my soul to prosper, my will to be more submitted to your will, my mind to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, my emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And then help me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers, in Jesus' name, amen. Nekatolo moshela karo fridoris, lipiti tofrenengast, loprininga tofrenenga tuske fredest. Mercy, Lord, mercy, as we pray in the Spirit. La prikitoska frega tolomoko kloma tolomo tolo lambre do kloma tolomo tufu sheka tolomo tufu do frishingars. Tolomatolo, Zeki to Fridisk, Lombriga, Tolomatolo, Zolo, Tolomatolo, Lombre, Tolomatolo, Lombre,
Tolom tufrines. Tolom tufrines. Jiki tufrines. Tolom shangarask.
In Jesus' name. You may be seated. There's something I must re-emphasize. The Holy Spirit said, say it again. I've said it, but I'm saying it again for emphasis. You will find that in the Old Testament and in the New, God will send prophets and they will say the same thing. Say, rising day and night. It's for two reasons. When you emphasize something, people who don't get it at first get it later. Secondly, it's for a witness. Because all recorded in heaven. So they will not say they were not told. Be careful what you listen to. This came by revelation as I was ministering. A lot of people are getting into covetousness, even when they come to a church like this. Because they listen to this, then they go and listen to something else. And you don't understand that when you're listening to a pastor, you're not just listening to the pastor, you're listening to his spirit. What is inside, it's not just the words. It's what is inside the person's heart that is also being delivered to you. And if there is covetousness and fornication, and if it's in his heart, he's passing the same thing across to you. Before you know, you start desiring all those funny things. Then you'll be wondering where you got it from. I've been told to emphasize this. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to other people. I listen to other pastors. I listen to other people. Because I know that nobody has a monopoly on the wisdom of God. I'm aware of that. Just recently, we sent you some by one guy, you know, beautiful prophetic word. So I listen to other people, you know. But even then, I'm careful. Even then, I'm careful. I listen selectively. I don't listen to everybody. And when I listen to a particular point and I see that it's going off, I stop it. The other day I was telling about somebody who gave people white stone. Come on. And listen to that again. And you know the funny thing is that they can give you the white stone and then you get a miracle. Then you think the white stone is what is giving you the power. Some people would stick all kinds of funny things. Be careful. Careful where you go. Careful what you listen to on the social media, on the internet, the kind of messages you're listening to. If it's let me say it in a very simple way, according to the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is not because they are not Christians, it's because there is no light in them. I'm going to repeat that with the paraphrase. If they, to the law and to the prophets, seal the law amongst his disciples. Isaiah chapter 8. He said, if they speak not according to this word, he said, it is because there is no light. He didn't say they're not Christians. He didn't say they're not born again. He didn't say that they're not people of God. He said, in that particular area, there's no light in them. Don't turn it off. It will affect you. God bless you.